I want to tell you a story of a young lady. We'll call her Kay. Kay was, about in the first grade when COVID hit. And so as the kids were at home, excuse me, Drew, can you grab me a water, please? Thanks. So Kay was just learning how to read when COVID hit, and in the first grade. So when the students came back onto the school campus, everybody was wearing what? Masks. So she had a hard time watching and observing and learning how to speak and how to form words and what those sounds looked like coming from your mouth. Her attendance was sporadic, so she didn't have really the support at home in forcing her to come to school and to be regular in attendance. So that also made it really difficult for her to learn how to communicate with her peers. So she was coming out of the second grade. So she's going into third grade. And the second grade teacher came across her new teacher, and said to her, she's not going to do anything for you. New teacher was like, okay. So she got into the classroom, got to working, and she noticed that when in the classroom, she didn't copy from the board very well, and it was kind of behind, and then with the computer, kind of behind, and she did a reading test with her, and you have like 1 minute to read just as much as you can, the best you can, and she got through like 6 words in 1 minute, and their teacher had to help her with every word. She was struggling. Had a hard time trying to get her an education plan because of some factors that it was hard to know for sure what the lagging behind was stemming from. And then on top of that, during that year, she became homeless and her family was living in a shelter. So she was out of school. And when she finally came back to school, she's trying to get, teachers getting her, trying to get her incorporated back into the classroom and just what's happening. And she put her up with a reading buddy. And the reading buddy is getting frustrated because, like, Kay is not helping. She's not participating. And then finally, Kay just breaks down and says, because I can't read. Imagine the anxieties of a third grader who confesses, I can't read in front of a peer publicly. May have been one of the first times that she had actually come out and said that. I can't even relate to that because that's not my story. That's really hard, but it's real. She suffered with a lot of anxiety at school because she couldn't read. And it didn't help that she didn't really have a home life that really encouraged her to get the help that she needed so that she could develop and get on course to where she needed to be. She didn't have advocates in her corner. Kids need their family and their parents to be their advocates, to help them, stand alongside them, be a voice for them at school and just in life, right? In general, it helps them manage anxieties and get on path to a healthy life. I'm in a series right now that's called, for those of you who haven't been here, it's your first time, welcome. I'm in the midst of a series called Going Back to School. And we're talking about how as parents and grandparents that we can help manage some of the anxieties that our kids, our grandkids are going through as they're launching into another school year. And we're just sort of basing that, grounding that in the Word and giving some practical tools that hopefully we can take and could use today or use tomorrow as well. And that's really going to be the case today. So if you like to take notes or you thought about it, I would invite you, today's a day you may want to do that. I promise there'll be some helpful, practical things that you can take away from today. Although it's kind of funny, it makes it sound like I never talk about anything that's really practical and helpful, but I try. I think if you're going to use a word, you heard me say this before, it helps if we all have the same definition of what we're going to talk about. I want to talk about the word advocate and being an advocate. And when I say that, I want to talk about being an advocate as someone who's a spokesperson for, who is, and we'll get to that in just a second, but being a spokesperson who's going to represent someone, who's going to defend their best interests, look out for their well-being. They may even comfort them, come alongside them and prop them up and help them. But they do all of this because they see value in that person. There's a love that they have for that person. It may or may not be their own, you know, kin, but they have value for them. So they come alongside. The question I want to try to answer is, how can we, as parents, grandparents, be an advocate who's going to help our kids to flourish where they are because we see value in them, because we love them, we want their best? So I thought I'd give you two practical ways that we can do that today. And I will confess to you that I am not a licensed therapist, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night. And if you don't get that joke, ask somebody who's about 40 or 50 where that's from, and they can explain it to you later. All right, one of the two I want to give you today is this. It's being an active listener. Be an active listener who helps with problem solving. Be an active listener who helps with problem solving. You notice I did not say be an active listener who solves problems. We want to help our children learn to be problem solvers. Sometimes we need to solve a problem, but many times we can help them learn how to solve a problem, to think through it, navigate that. And listening is a very powerful way to do that, in part because listening says, I value you enough that I'm going to stop, and in this moment, I'm going to listen to you. Let me get some feedback. Can you dial that back for me, please? I value you enough that I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I want to listen to you, and I want to learn where you're at and what you're thinking, what you're going through, what maybe you're wrestling with right now at this moment. And one of the ways that I want to choose to do that is to ask open-ended questions to you, not the yes or no. Did you have a good day today? No. What did you experience in your day today? That's an open-ended question. It gets them to talk. What happened today? What happened on the playground today? Why, did you hear something? Did my teacher email you today? No. Should she have or he have? No. Asking questions that will prompt them to try to process through what they have seen that day and what they've heard that day, the things that they've chose to do that day, what they said. Maybe it was in the class, maybe it was on the playground, maybe it was at lunchtime, maybe it was when they went to work. If you've got a teen that works after school some or in the evening. And when you're listening to them and you're getting them to hopefully, sometimes like pulling teeth, right, to get kids to talk. But I want to invite you, consider praising them for the good choices that they make. Help them, even if they don't, help them to see what the good things are that they chose to do during that day, how they handled an issue, how they chose not to speak or to bow up, right? Sometimes the boys want to do that, don't they? It's like, oh, right? Maybe the girls, I don't know. But when you see that you learn that they made a good choice, praise them for that. Help them learn what good choices look like. That wasn't an easy choice to make. Well done, I'm proud of you. Never underestimate the words, I'm proud of you, to your kids or to your grandkids. They carry a lot of weight. And if you're listening and you hear that they didn't make maybe the best choice and the outcome wasn't great, help them learn what an alternative choice could have been that could have produced a better outcome. And when you're listening, taking it all in and sort of watching them, be observant for some patterns. Patterns such as, you know what? I noticed that whenever they get hangry, that they start to act this way. I know that they don't think clearly when they're tired. I'm noticing that when they get loaded up on sugar after school, it tends to produce certain behavior, and I can see the anxieties come up or whatever, right? Pay attention. The people that they get around or they talk about, or things that are happening, pay attention to those things. Look for patterns there that you can help to navigate with them. And I want to talk about how we might help with that here in just a few minutes. One of the things I'm learning as I get into my mid-40s is that I'm not a kid anymore. I don't have the energy I used to have. I got to take care of my body better than I used to. And I run, so I've yet to put that together in my head. But anyways, I'm discovering the power of eating a better diet. That really does make a difference. I'm noticing that if I will eat healthy, start my day, my brain works better in the morning and throughout the day. If I stay hydrated during the day, I notice that my brain functions at a better level throughout the day. If I don't stay up super late and I get the sleep that I need, I notice that I'm emotionally more at rest that day, that I'm in a better spot to handle stuff that's happening that I can't control. And the people that are, sometimes you never have somebody that just brings something to your doorstep and you're like, why did you bring that to me today? How you, right? But you still got to respond to that. And how do you respond to that stuff? If I pay attention and I have some better habits, I tend to navigate those things better. But you know, when you're a teenager, none of that matters because you can handle anything, right? You can conquer the world. And then you get in your 20s. I'm still 10 feet tall and what? Bulletproof. 30s, 40s. Well, things hurt a little more than they used to. I can't speak beyond 47, so sorry on that one. Sometimes, here's one of the things that I have learned. Sometimes it's very helpful if when we're listening, this is a unique one. This has happened in my house, and so I just share this with you. I've noticed. My kids are not me. Duh. They don't make decisions like I always make decisions, right? They're just different. And I used to think that my kid is like me. And then you butt heads for a while, and then you realize, oh, they're not. One of the things that I learned was that one of my kids is a lot like me, and my other kid is more like their mother. And I'm not going to tell you which is which, all right? I'm not going to throw them under the bus or anything like that. But one of our kids, much like me, needs a lot of information to help process what they're facing, what decisions need to be made, like, what do I do with this, right? And then when they have that information, they just kind of go and they navigate that and they sort of figure that out. Now, the other ones, like, just kind of give me the ballpark. What is it here? Da, da, da. Okay, I kind of got it. All right. And then it's, I'm going to ask questions as I go because I'm going to need guidance and help. Very different. So what I've had to learn is, instead of thinking the one that just needs a little ballpark kind of idea, and then it's good, and I can go on. I need to make myself available. Like, I have to make space because I know I'm going to get some follow-up questions along the way. And what I found is that if I do that, what the one kid needs and the other kid needs, which is different, that it helps to bring those anxiety levels down for them. They have a better sense of peace. I love them, and I love them uniquely to what I've learned is the way that they have to process through making decisions. And I've got to honor that and just help them where they are. I don't need them to be like me. No, you be you, but let me help you be the best version of yourself and to be able just to breathe and have confidence that you might make the mistake and you might have all the information in the world. But you know what? God still loves you and he's not forsaken you and he's still helping you and you get through this and you'll figure this out. And we're, mom and I are here to help. Love them where they are. Be willing to show that in different ways. But you got to spend time listening and watching the way that works for them and then try to help them. That's a little bit of my story. So be an active listener. And so I show you just a few ideas there. And then I want to give you the second one, which is I find personally, and you're like, are you ever going to talk about Jesus? Yes, we're getting there. I have personally found that this is the harder one for me than the first, what I just talked about, okay? Because what I want to tell you right now requires discipline, and it's challenging. You have to be disciplined as a parent, and you have to remember that you will not always be your child's best friend, and that's not your job. Your job is to be their parent and to set them up to flourish and thrive down the road. And discipline is not popular at home when you're being disciplined. Even the Bible talks about that, right? I snuck that Bible thing in there, right? Just playing. But we're called to be the parent. And one of the things that we can do as parents to help manage, our kids manage anxieties and to bring those down to help them, they won't do it all completely, but is to have healthy rhythms. Healthy rhythms that will help to give structure to our kids' days. Maybe something in the morning. They may have to get up, and you know what the structure is? First thing you do when you get up is what? You got to go brush your teeth. You got to make your bed. You got to go feed the chickens. You got to go do something else, right? You got to feed the dog. You got to, whatever it may be, having some structure. And after school, what, before, just having some structure before, after, that just helps give some rhythm, some responsibility. You're a growing person. You have the ability to work. God created you to create and to cultivate and to build and to contribute. This is a way in which you learn to do that. You're going to set them up for a better future in doing that. Within that structure is also, maybe I won't go without saying, but it's having some healthy guardrails, right? Makes sense? So they're not going way off over here or way off over here. It's kind of helping guide them in things that are healthy practices for them. If they stayed up all night playing video games, how ready are they going to be for class the next morning? Not, okay? If all they do is drink Coke and Coke and sugar and sugar and sugar at night, after school, in the afternoon and evening, they're not going to have a very good night's sleep. Their body's not going to shut down and rest and recover like it needs to. I'm not condemning anyone's parenting practices. We're just talking science and biology for a second. That's how the human body works. And we have to realize that. And helping them have healthy structure and rhythm with habits to help them learn, understand what works, what doesn't, what props them up to have a better tomorrow at school, right? So when they get up, the first thing is, you know, not to drink a soft drink in the morning, because your brain needs protein. It needs water to help gain energy to be ready for that day, to focus in. Those things matter. God created our bodies to flourish and thrive in healthy ways, but we have to pay attention to what actually works and what detracts from that. And it's a lot easier to say, well, I don't have time for this. I don't care. Do whatever you got to do. You just got to get to school. But parenting is takes discipline and hard work to help your kid to be ready to flourish in the day. So we do have to sacrifice, and we do have to say, here's what you can and can't do, because this is what's actually going to help you. This is not helping you. It's holding you back. And they have to learn that. And we get to help them learn that. All right. Do advanced preparation number two. So that was one you should have. Hopefully that comes through. But the second one I'll share with you is do advanced preparation. So as much as you can help them get ready for that next day ahead of time, I want to encourage you to do that. The less decisions they probably have to make in the morning, most kids when they get up, it's going to make for a better start to the morning. So they can have some of that stuff knocked out ahead of time. Or even if they have to get up super early, you know, they can get some things prepared and ready to go. Because the last thing you want is at 6:45 and we got to walk out the door at 5 to 7. And they're going, I don't have any shirts clean for school today. You're going, excuse me? What happened to the laundry? You know, they're all in the corner. Well, it looks like you just woke up after being in a ball for 3 weeks. What is going on here with your, oh, well, come on. You know, it's things we can help navigate ahead of time, get them ready to get out and go. We can minimize some of those stressful choices ahead of time. That's going to help. I talked about balanced nutrition, hydration, so don't let me go back on that again. And getting adequate sleep, I did that. Now, here's the fun one. I have had to learn this the hard way, and this is a bad one of me. I mean, I struggle with this one. I have for years as a parent, but also personal. Be punctual as much as you can with kids. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but I'm just going to ask it because I have so done this, have been like, okay, I'm coming back in 5 minutes and this needs to be accomplished. You forget, you move on, you just said it, you weren't really intending to come back in 5 minutes, and you come back 15. Don't raise your hand. I have so done this multiple times. We are leaving in 10 minutes. You need to have your shoes on and ready to walk in 10 minutes. Yes, Dad. 20 minutes later, we still haven't walked out the door and they still don't have the shoes on, right? We're going to be at school. All right, enough of that. I'm just talking about my own story on this one, guys. I'm just saying, okay, as a parent, be punctual. That creates chaos. It creates anxieties. being punctual, again, that routine, that structure, that certainly helps. Help them learn that time is a valuable resource and we need to make the most of it and not waste that as much as possible, as much as we can, as much as we can control. Let's honor what God has given to us, time. As kids, we think we got all the time in the world. And then you start getting older and you go, wow, I realize I have less time than I used to. Right? And you begin to value and see the value in that time. Let's help our kids learn to value that by learning to be punctual. And that's going to struggle. I get it. But just working on that, right? Help them to learn the value of time. It's going to be great at school. It's going to be great as they're getting older. It's going to serve them well. And one of the things that you're doing, because you're here, or if you're not here, and sometimes you are, that is just attending church on Sundays, helping your kids to have the structure and the rhythm of Sunday we go to church, right? It's like, this is what we do on Sundays. And we learn. The kids go to Sunday school and they learn and they're growing in the knowledge of God and the scriptures and what Jesus has done through the cross, right? Our salvation. Having the rhythm of when the church gets together, what do? We go and we have fun and it's good. Or we work together. The rhythm of making those things a priority with our kids. Because if we don't make them the priority, our kids don't learn that they are important. You set the values for your children. If you don't highly value something, they're not going to learn to value that unless something happens in their own life that may lead them to that. But that'll probably take a little bit longer time in life. They can learn early when you as a family hold a certain set of values. And that may, one of the things that can be is giving. So when you as a family, you tithe and you give, right? Whatever the Lord leads you to give, that value is something that your children observe and they learn that this is a part of the Christian life. This is what we do, okay? They don't know that without being taught that. And you can find creative ways to do that with them. One of the things that we've done in our home over the years is just recognize, hey, when they would receive money for they'd work or they'd get a gift, like money, we would encourage them and say, let's give 10% of that to God first. And then let's trust that God's going to provide everything that you would need with what you have left. Let's do that, because that's what we do at our home, right? And so I'm not bragging, I'm just saying and that's kind of how we did that, and we worked. And that took years of working through that to help teach that value and that structured rhythm. When we receive, we give. When we receive, we give. As the Lord leads us, we give. And seasons when we were receiving more, we were giving more. And when, right? So learning that rhythm. And one of the things that I think for me has been one of the most powerful that I have enjoyed, I saved it for the last, is praying over your kids. I'm sure you pray for your kids. I encourage you to pray over your kids. Pray for your kids as they're in your presence, okay? We would do this with our kids at night, not just praying for their day, the next day, but just praying over them. Lord, we ask your blessing upon, my son's Drew, like, for example, Lord, we ask your blessing upon Drew as he sleeps tonight to bring healing for his body after today. Would you prepare him for tomorrow and the things that he's going to go through where he needs wisdom? Would you give him the wisdom to make decisions? You see the pattern. Praying over your children that they learn that prayer is a natural, powerful part of being a follower of Jesus, being a believer, living the Christian life, a part in the family. And I used to do this early on, when my kids were younger, I used to take them to school. It was just the way it worked in our home. And so Drew first, right? Hope wasn't in school yet. And so I would take him to school and he would get ready to get out the car. And he may remember this or not, but I would say about the same thing every time they got out. Every time we get out. Love you, bud. May the Lord bless you today with a good day. Get out of the car. And then Hope got to be where I was taking her to school. Love you. Lord bless you with a good day today. You say, well, yeah, why would you not? See, when they get out of the car, we both know I don't have control over what's happening. They've got to make their own decisions. They've got to decide what's good and right. I don't get to be dad that oversees all that. I have to let go and allow them to step forward. And I want them to learn, as much as I also want them to be blessed, that you're going with God through your day to day. And dad's not here, but the Lord is with you. Mom can't rescue you, but the Holy Spirit can counsel you. I need you to learn that the goodness of your day is connected to the good choices that you make. And God has taught us to make good choices, right? I want them to connect the pieces of faith. That's discipleship, and that's loving our kids, right? Our grandkids. I look forward to that part of the day every day, to just pray and to speak blessings over them as a parent. All right. Feels like a parenting class or something. And I have as much failures in this as I have things I could celebrate. All right. Let me just connect it to Jesus, all right? Because we are at church today. Okay, so what's this got to do with Jesus and the Holy Spirit? All right, quickly. The scripture tells us that Jesus is our advocate with the Father. In the book of Hebrews is one place where it talks about that. Jesus intercedes for us, sits at the right hand of the Father. He has gone to the cross and he has died for our salvation. He did what we could not do on our own. We required someone to intervene, someone to be able to stand in the gap, if you will, for something we were incapable of accomplishing, very much like an advocate, right? And he went there and he accomplished that, and then he ascended into heaven after the resurrection. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and the scripture says that he's making intercession for us on our behalf. That there he is, and he says, Father, Zach is mine. He defends you to the Father, because the righteousness of Christ is upon you through your salvation. He's your advocate to the Father. He's defending you, standing there on your behalf, right? That's what he's doing. And Jesus said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a great counselor, is a teacher, is a comforter, is an intercessor. Very much what an advocate is. And he sent us the Holy Spirit. So now, every single day, wherever you go, you have the Holy Spirit being your advocate to the Father, whatever you're going through. It's like, I got you. I'm defending you. I'm helping you. What do you need to know? What can I teach you about what living out your faith today? How can I help you? Come on, man, we got this. We can do this, right? I mean, you have God Almighty, you know, in your heart and in your life. Come on, we can do this, right? We can get through this. There's no mountain we can't climb, and there's no wall we can't get through, because I'm God, he says, and I'm your advocate. Let's do it. Let's go get them. This whole idea connects to Jesus being the great high priest, which means that he is representing us to the Father. Talks about that in the book of Hebrews, which always made me kind of wonder. I thought, if Jesus makes you a cup of coffee, it's probably the best, because he brews it. Love it. Just love horrible dad jokes. I love it. I love it. I love it. You didn't know you were getting that for free today, did you? I know. I know. I do what I can, and it's not good. So, God has shown you the full extent of his love by sending his Son and sending the Holy Spirit. Father loves you. You may not have someone that's standing in your corner, and I'm sorry if you don't. I want to tell you, you've got a God that loves you and will fight for you and stand in your corner and help you overcome battles, conquer anxieties, bring you peace where the world can't bring that into your life. But the only way to that is through faith in Jesus. That's the one thing that if you walk away from today and go, I don't know, that dude's off his rocker. If you can just get into one thing, that the great thing that can help our kids navigate their day and manage anxieties is to keep hearing from mom and or dad or the grandparents, God loves you, the Holy Spirit is with you, God's going to help you, We're here to help you as well. You're going to get through this because the Lord will not forsake you. He knows the plans he has for you. He is walking with you. You just keep building them up in that faith, the truth, right? Just prop them up. God will hold out your arms when you're tired and you're just ready to just throw them down and quit. Like, God's done it before. He'll do it again. This is what he's promised, right? It's like, just keep helping them hear the truth and be lifted up with it. Because I promise you, they get enough of what they see and what they hear in the world that's the opposite. Or it promises narcotics or alcohol or gambling or other addictions or improper physical relationships that can hold them and get them through. And what every single one of those finds is, they don't. At the end of the day, it's empty. In the short run, maybe a little, be real. But in the long run, it's a fall. But Jesus won't let you fall to where you can't be lifted. He will help because he is your advocate. Can you put that last slide up here? For if you were here with us last week, I had to use a slide again. If you weren't, then surprise, that's me and my wife. We were high school sweethearts at Ball C. The reason I show this, because I want to finish the conversation, just a story, not conversation. And I want to end with this story. I said last week that when I went to Ball C High School, I didn't know anybody, and it was completely different culture than what I had experienced through elementary and middle school. What I didn't tell you was that the liaison officer, the police liaison officer that was appointed to that school was my grandfather. And I kept him hawing over, I don't know anybody, right? So I'm a processor, I need a lot of information. And it got to a point where, I remember this, and I'm sure I'll remember the rest of my life, where my grandfather, he was over at our house, and he looked at me, and he said, "I got you. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. You're going to be okay. I'm going to watch out for you." And it was with that one piece of advice I still remember. Okay, let's do it. And that decision was made, and I quit wrestling with it. Not that my dad and my stepmom, they weren't encouraging me, because they were. But for me, I needed that one piece of information from somebody who I knew wanted my best and would sacrifice and watch out and look after me, to speak that over me, to me. I was so nervous that first day. Oh, I cannot even begin to tell you how nervous I was. That picture is my senior year. That's not a nervous person. That's a confident, happy, having the time of my life person. Leslie's teaching, but I will tell you, she's part of the reason that I became that person. But don't tell her that. No, I'm just kidding. You can, because it's on video, and I'll have to tell her now. I have to get out, or my kids will. Never underestimate the power of being an advocate for people, especially our kids, our grandkids, because it may just make the difference that you may not see in the first day or the first week or the first month. It may take 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but never underestimate what love can do. And if you need a reminder, never underestimate what the power of love can do to change a life. What you do matters, and it makes a difference. Let's do some good things for our kids. Keep doing the good things, and let's watch them and help them flourish. Amen. But our worship singers and our team...